From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Several hundred Filipino Alaskans from around Southeast gathered at Centennial Hall in Juneau this week to get much-needed services from the Philippine Consulate. After 2 years in a pandemic-related delay, the consulate's mission from San Francisco means Filipinos in Alaska can finally visit their families back home. I talked to some residents who received those services for this story. A line forms behind a table in the lobby of Centennial Hall where Filipino Alaskans are waiting to get services to renew visas, passports, and apply for dual citizenship. Masked volunteers take the temperature of each person before they enter the main hall. The Philippine Consulate's regional office is based in San Francisco and serves most western states from Colorado to Alaska. Typically, Filipinos who need services have to travel there to get them, but a visit like this saves them a lot of time and money. Nora Carrillo is a volunteer and also applied for her dual citizenship in the Philippines with the consulate.
It is nice for them to come over here and do the dual citizenship instead of us going in San Francisco, because it takes a lot of time and plus it's expensive. So we are really thankful for them to come up here.
Rebecca Carrillo is the honorary consul to the Philippines in Juneau. She says the consulate's visit had been originally scheduled for last year, but the COVID-19 pandemic halted those plans. As a result, there was a backlog of people in need of consulate services.
For us here in Alaska, many Filipinos, Filipino Americans, who would otherwise just be able to fly to San Francisco to receive services in person, were unable to do so, thereby increasing the surge in the volume of calls at the Filipino consulate.
She also says that travel restrictions to the Philippines meant that Filipinos in Alaska couldn't visit their families back home.
There was a period when foreigners were not allowed to be issued visas to travel to the Philippines under certain 5 conditions, which include if they are a parent of a Filipino child with disabilities, whether they're serving on a humanitarian mission or their business.
Edric Carrillo is president of the Juneau-based Filipino Community Incorporated. He says several hundred people from around Southeast Alaska were in need of the consulate services. He says the consulate's visit means that the Filipino community in Juneau is recognized alongside bigger communities in the country.
That small community of, 30,000 plus people can, rally together enough to get that level of recognition really, is a testament to the community here and other communities in Alaska.
Consulate General Neil Frank Ferrer led the mission and says he's happy with the turnout.
The consulate, prior to the pandemic, has been making Alaska as a priority for the outreach services. But now that the pandemic is more or less under control, I intend to come to Juneau and to Alaska every year.
The Philippine consulate is in Fairbanks this week and will be in Anchorage on August 26th. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña. In other news, contractors for Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital broke ground on a multi-million-dollar expansion project last month. The new building will hold the regional hub's ballooning behavioral health program. Claire Strumpel reports for KTOO.
There's a rubble-strewn hole where Bartlett's behavioral health building used to be. Downhill, an excavator moves new rock into what will be the foundation for a $14 million upgrade. But when Bartlett's chief behavioral health officer, Bradley Grigg, looks at the construction site, he sees a 4-story building that will house the hospital's fastest-growing department.
So the ground floor is here, and then we go up 2 stories above the ground. So the patient rooms from crisis will be on the back of the facility facing the channel.
He's not just excited about therapeutic views of Juneau's waterfront. The behavioral health department has more than 10 times as many patients now as it did in September of 2019. So the building that will fill the space on the hillside below him will be nearly 10 times the size of what was here before. It will house the 150-person behavioral health staff already working in the hospital and ideally have enough patient capacity to eliminate or reduce wait lists.
this is really going to be a game changer in terms of access to treatment for people as they walk in. It's on demand. It's 24/7. It's staff 24/7, psychiatry, therapist, behavioral health associates, nursing staff.
The hospital is taking on its biggest capital project in a decade because it doesn't have enough room to house what Greg calls an unrelenting influx of behavioral health patients. Right now, the department has only one inpatient bed for youth. The new facility will have 8 beds that can be used for adults or children. Currently, behavioral health patients who need to stay in a hospital must usually travel to Anchorage.
We don't want to be shipping them up north. Doesn't mean that it still won't happen on occasion, but our ultimate goal is to serve any kid from Juneau and Southeast who would come to our unit in an effort to keep them as close to home community as possible. We know that if they're closer, they'll get better treatment.
Even as hospital administration sat down with the final plans for the new building this year, they realized the hospital had already outgrown the unbuilt structure. They decided to add an entire floor. The cost of the additional floor was quickly accepted by the assembly and the hospital board. It will house 15 offices for therapists, nursing staff, and a case manager. Jean Rin is the city architect with the City and Borough of Juneau's engineering department. Contractors broke ground on this project last month.
The architectural team is working on the drawings right now to add the third floor. So, you know, it's very unusual to be designing the building while you're building part of it. And they're trying to stay ahead of the construction schedule.
Sky-high lumber prices precipitated another last-minute change to the final plan. Architects finished designing the foundation footprint for what is now a steel structure just last week. Rin says it's been a little stressful, but the finished building will be worth the effort.
I think the end result is going to serve the community well, so it's a worthwhile cause for a good long-term goal. And once the building is there, nobody's going to care about what we went through to get it there. You know, that's history. It takes on a life of its own at that point.
Greg and his team secured about $5 million in outside funding for the project. The hospital will foot the bill for the remaining $9 million, with approval from the Juneau Assembly and its own board. The goal is to have the exterior of the building up by the end of this season, so work can continue inside through the winter. Construction on the building is tentatively slated to be complete by winter of next year. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strumpel for KTOO.
In politics, Brett Huber, a former top aide to Alaska GOP Governor Mike Dunleavy, has returned to the governor's office after running last year's campaign against the ballot measure that instituted ranked choice voting. Dunleavy's administration has clashed with Democratic President Joe Biden's administration over land management, oil development, and other issues, and Huber's new title is Senior Policy Advisor for Statehood Defense. His job, as the governor's office described it in a statement, is, quote, pushing back on attempts from President Joe Biden's federal agencies to overregulate and overreach on Alaskans, end quote. A spokeswoman said she did not have information about Huber's salary. A records request for that information is pending. Huber managed Dunleavy's successful gubernatorial campaign in 2018. Then he served in the governor's office as communications director and policy advisor. Huber left the governor's office last year to manage the campaign against the initiative to overhaul Alaska's elections. Huber's side lost by 1%. And in Anchorage, a 21-year-old man was indicted on Friday for shooting 5 people near a downtown gas station where he worked in June. A woman, 37-year-old Jacqueline Welcome, was killed in the shooting. Anthony Lee Herring faces charges of first-degree murder, second-degree murder, attempted murder, and weapons misconduct. He faces multiple 99-year sentences if he's convicted. Herring's arraignment is tomorrow. And according to the charges, Herring had argued with a group of homeless people near his workplace earlier in the day on June 18th. He returned early the next morning and opened fire on a group of people, shooting 5 people. Police say it's not clear whether the victims were intended targets of the shooting. And the Anchorage Daily News reports that the leaders of Alaska's Republican Party on Saturday endorsed a challenger to incumbent U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski, who has been one of the GOP's most outspoken critics of former President Donald Trump. The Alaska Republican State Central Committee endorsed Kelly Shabaka in the 2022 race for the U.S. Senate seat held by Murkowski. The committee approved Shabaka's endorsement in a 58-17 vote during a meeting in Fairbanks. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.